Jenny, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. Firstly, these genes that we're talking about, these genes that may or may not determine, you know, whether we are cisgendered or transgendered or however we identify, can we spot them? Can we point straight to the little beggars just yet?
Probably not just yet. What's been done, and not by me, other people have looked at genes that they would suspect had something to do with gender identity, largely genes that control hormones. And they found that at least four of them do show some correlation with transgender men.
Mm. You first began your research, as we mentioned, back in the late 80s with transgender advocate and psychiatrist Dr. Bauer. What were your findings? What was the theory behind it then?
Well, I really have had very little to do with gender, but I work on sex, and I was working then on the gene that makes you male. And Professor Bauer thought, because he worked with transgender people, largely trans women, and he had the idea that maybe the sex gene was different in transgender women. So that's why he came to my lab, and that sparked my interest in the whole question. That was a long time ago, and things have changed a lot since then, but I think we're now in the position of actually looking for and identifying genes that may have something to do with gender identity.
You touched on it just before in terms of hormone production. You mentioned hormone production there, but could you unpack for us a little bit more how these genetic structures might affect our gender identity?
Well, of course, we've got about 20,000 genes, and there may be hundreds of genes that affect our gender identity. But the ones that people look at right away, the usual suspects, if you like, are the genes that we know control the levels of various sex hormones in the body. But there may be lots of other genes that affect gender identity, but we haven't looked for them.
Mm. I found it really interesting. You'd mentioned in an article I just read on this that you'd written that there is this genetic predisposition that can be proved in terms of identical twins. If we have twins that obviously share the same genetic structure, they're more likely to both be cisgendered or both be transgendered. I mean, we saw that in the most famous case of the Wachowski siblings.
Absolutely. And that's the first thing you always do when you're looking for some genetic component. You look at identical and non-identical twins. And those studies were done a few years ago. There weren't very many twins to study. And of course, the problem is always that gender identity is self-referenced. So if a pair of twins says they're both transgender, they're almost certainly telling the truth, but if one of them says they are trans and the other is not, you have to worry about the other one not wishing to come out. So those sorts of studies are always a bit fraught.
It's interesting also, obviously, genetics are passed down from parents unto children and so on and so forth. One would assume transgender individuals in today's society are, if they are going to make the transition, however they might choose to do so, probably less likely to be passing their genes down to naturally born children. Is that going to be a factor is that going to be a factor in future generations in terms of trans identification?
Well, that's always what puzzled me, is why transgender is so frequent when people who have made the transition are not likely to have their own children. But of course, many people will have already had children by the time they transition. But what I'm suggesting is that, in fact, the genes that that are likely to make you feel more feminine, in a man, they will make you transgender, but in a woman, they may make you partner earlier and have more kids.
Mm.
And this is why I suggested many, many years ago that the same thing is happening with gay genes. Gay genes are probably very frequent. And the reason is that they're not gay genes, they're male-loving genes. And in the sisters and the mothers and the aunts of gay men, they'll induce her to partner earlier and have more kids. And there's quite a bit of evidence that that is the case. So I think you can make the same sort of argument about transgender, that these genes that make you feel more feminine are likely in a woman to make her partner earlier and have more kids. In a man, the same gene variants are likely to make you feel like a woman and want to transition into a woman, and you may have less kids. But it all balances out, you see.
That is an absolutely sort of fascinating theory on that one, I must say, Jenny. Now, I've got to ask also, these issues, I'm always scratching my head as to why, but a lot of people seem to take offence to transgender individuals' very existence a lot of the time. Certainly, I would hope, less so in the scientific community than in the community at large, but certainly it's an ongoing struggle for a great deal of trans-identifying individuals. You haven't been working on this one specifically for quite a while, but have you seen some resistance over the time of your career to these kind of ideas, to applying these scientific principles to trans individuals, or indeed to homosexual individuals?
Oh, absolutely. There was a furor in, I think it was way back in 1998, when the first evidence came out for genes that promote homosexuality. And a lot of people said, no, there can't be such genes. They can't exist. Well, no, they can exist, and they probably do exist. And it's probably not one or two or three. It's probably hundreds of genes. I think there is a lot of resistance to believing that there is that kind of variation in the human population. But the evidence is accumulating that there's a lot of variation in both males and in females, both in the mate choice and also in gender identity. And that's not a bit surprising. I mean, everything is subject to genetics, and I make the analogy with height. I mean, men are on the average taller than women, but within the male population, there are short men and tall men. Within the female population, there are short women and tall women. And it's not a bit abnormal to have a tall woman or a short man.
Jenny, like I said, absolutely fascinating, fascinating research. Really do appreciate you joining us, having a bit of a chat with us about it.
You're very welcome.